Hey, Fantasy Football Factory listeners, you can find every episode of Fantasy Football Factory on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
Football Factory Podcast. Can't believe I'm saying this, but week six NFL Sunday already in the books. We're going to go ahead and look ahead to week seven. But first, we want to thank our title sponsor, great tasting, less filling Miller Lite. I'm your host, Ben Mintz, joined as always by Stephen Shea. How are you, Mr. Shea?
Doing great, buddy. Another win for my Buccaneers. You guys run a bye?
Yeah. Three and two on a bye, you know?
I was going to say another loss, but
didn't lose.
Yeah. James threw no interceptions this past week. But we want to thank
for that. We're all thankful.
Yeah. We want to thank our title sponsor, Miller Lite. Absolute best. Great tasting, less filling, 96 calories, only 3.2 grams of carbs per 12 ounces. They're doing something really cool. We talked about it yesterday on Dear Mr. Fantasy, which again is our weekly YouTube show at 11:30 Eastern after the actives inactives list comes out, which Miller Lite also sponsors. We take user questions and give them advice to help them get in the winner's circle for that week. But we announced that they're running a sweepstakes. So if you go to barstoolsports.com/FFFsweeps, you can enter for your chance to win a trip here to Barstool HQ and hang out with us for your 2022 fantasy draft. So obviously a bit of a long game here. We're talking about next summer, but be awesome. We can, you know, do a we had so much fun doing the fantasy draft this year, the salary cap draft. We're both in a bunch of leagues, so it's always fun to do fantasy stuff around that. Maybe even help some people out with some advanced rankings next year.
Yeah, and I'll say this too. The Barstool office is one of the most unique places in America. And it's one of those that, you know, you hype up something, but you definitely want to check out where the sausage is made here.
Yeah.
So appreciate Miller Lite for that opportunity. Only 96 calories, great tasting, less filling. What's better than fantasy football and football season in Miller Lite?
Yep. So just enter your email for a chance to win the ultimate fantasy experience, complete with Barstool merch and plenty of Miller Lite. Terms and conditions apply. No purchase necessary. Must be 21 or over to enter. Celebrate responsibly. Again, it's barstoolsports.com/FFFsweeps. So we're going to be seeing one of you guys in a couple months, but we appreciate you guys for listening. But let's get into it. And some surprising performances yesterday.
Some wild games, too.
Wild games.
That Dallas-New England game was just, I mean, if you had New England plus 3.5, like a lot of people I know did, it's tough times.
Can we talk about that decision by Mike McCarthy?
Yes.
To kick a 51-yard field goal to go up by potentially two with like 3.5
minutes left.
Yeah,
with time on the clock.
Fourth and one. You have a very good offensive line. You have Ezekiel Elliott. You have Dak Prescott who can, and I know they got stuffed on a fourth and one earlier.
But that's like recency bias though. That, mm-hmm. You know, that's like overvaluing. You got stuffed. I mean, you've got a really good O-line. You can do so much.
Yep.
I don't like that decision.
That's your 50-50 play.
Yeah. I think it's a much higher chance than 50.
I didn't like it at all. I mean, it's a 51-yarder. I know Zerline's really good.
I know. And he missed it.
Yeah.
But then things changed. Trayvon Diggs with the pick six. That crazy Kendrick Bourne touchdown. Yes, Trayvon Diggs gave it up, but it was on the safety, too. The safety should have made that play.
Yeah, well, Trayvon thought the safety was going to be there.
Yes.
He was not there.
Yes, he was not. He was running late for the bus.
And you mentioned Trayvon Diggs. You took him 9-1 last week to win the NFL.
Last week?
Which is crazy. And now he has 7 interceptions in 6 weeks.
Yes, 2 touchdowns. Crazy. I mean, the value there was way too good to pass up.
All right, a lot of big performances to recap. We got some people we're panicking on and teams were panicking on, truthfully. First, let's just go ahead and get into that, this Cleveland Browns situation right now. I feel bad for them. They're 3-3. They've had a lot of ref calls go against them the last couple weeks, but that's not what we're getting into. You looked at this team and you said Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt is the best 1-2 combo and running back in the NFL.
Easily.
And now we're through week six and both are hurt? That's brutal.
And they're playing on Thursday night. So it's not like, you know, Kareem Hunt comes off the field. He can't even put weight on his leg. I mean, can I be the first report? He's going to be out on Thursday. There's no way you can't put weight on your leg and then Thursday night you're going to be running. So if he's out, Nick Chubb may be out. What happens?
It's tough.
With this
it's only a Thursday
backfield?
Game for him. That's normally a spot where you'd if be cautious to bring him back on the long week.
Right. So, an interesting matchup. They're hosting the Broncos. They're 5-point favorites right now. Over under right now is 44.5. So we're thinking it's going to be a low scoring game. How do we see this shaking out with the backfield? Is Demetric Felton a guy that becomes an automatic pickup? Is D'Ernest Johnson a guy who's going to be an automatic? Because like Cleveland runs the ball. They're not an air it out team. So somebody's probably going to be getting close to 20 carries.
And then you also got to factor in what's going on with Baker Mayfield, who's playing with a hurt shoulder right now.
Yeah.
And so you've got your franchise quarterback and your top two running backs all hurt on a short week. It's just it's a tough situation. I mean, it just kind of feels like a lot of things have gone against them so far this year.
Yeah. I mean, last week, the Chargers Browns game, that fourth quarter with, you know, 40 something points.
Yeah, 26, crazy. 41 points, fourth quarter.
41 point fourth quarter. And then this week, they get down super early. Come back, Baker with the Hail Mary. Donovan Peoples-Jones, is he a guy that we're picking up? So 24.1 fantasy points, finished as wide receiver 4.
It's just always hesitant on the Hail Mary guys, though.
Yeah, I agree.
And the other thing, too, with the Cleveland passing game, first of all, I'm willing to say it. They got to get Odell Beckham off this team. I mean, like, if he's going to make $1 million every time he catches the football, because he makes like $20 million and he gets one or two catches every week, he's either on the sideline as a distraction, something's out. I don't know. It just, they got to get him out of there, I think.
I am not a Dave Gettleman detractor, but when that trade was made to send him to Cleveland for, I believe it was a first round pick that turned into Jabril Peppers.
Yeah, Peppers is a good
move. Everyone was like, what on earth is this trade? The Giants very clearly won that trade. Very clearly.
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing is everybody's playing fantasy football, and that's why we're here right now. Yeah. And, you know, anytime you get a defensive lineman with your first-round pick, it's never sexy until they dominate.
Yeah.
No, but just the Odell thing, I don't know. It just feels like things like you look at the Cleveland breakout year they had last year, and I love Stefanski, and there's so much good going on in the organization, but it just feels like they're having a little bit of a year from hell all of a sudden.
Yeah, we see this, you know, every year. Every year, some team gets really beat up by injuries. Last year, Niners. We saw San Francisco, and then this year we're seeing Cleveland, but we're also seeing the Giants.
I feel like the Giants get beat up by injuries every year. Yeah. I mean, it's like crazy. And I know, like back in the Tom Coughlin days, it used to be, you know, people would blame him for how hard they practiced and all this stuff. But what's going on now with them is just, you know, you look at Galladay being out, Barkley being out. Kadarius Toney, who you loved, who had a 10-catch, 189-yard game.
Three catches,
36 yards first drive, was trying to play with an ankle injury.
His over-under was like 50.5 or something.
He's
like
out.
That.
They got just, I mean, they got run out their own stadium yesterday by the Los Angeles Rams.
Honestly, there's no way one player makes that much of a difference. What was it, 38-11? So, like, you know, that many points?
They were outclassed.
But he gets hurt so early, and they're driving down the field. I would say it's not going to be a blowout if he's there. That's what I would say.
Yeah, I think they would have scored a lot more than 11 points.
Yeah, I mean, they looked bad. Sterling Shepard, a good recommendation by you. Had a nice game.
Yeah. Well, it was just the target share thing, and Daniel Jones likes going to him so much. But I'm glad we got one right there, Mr. Shea.
Yeah. Also, a nice performance across the pond by Jalen Waddle.
Yes, and the thing is, Tua came back. Okay, so the Jags won. And by the way, that's something funny to share. I was over at the gambling house. And Frank and Doug's were doing the unit stream on Frank's YouTube channel. And, man, Frank just not happy. I know it's hard to believe. But, yeah, Tua came back and actually played pretty well, though. Urban Meyer got his first win in this game. I feel like Tua, though, the thing with Waddle, he had only 70 yards, but 10 catches.
Yeah.
And Tua and Waddle, you know, they played together at Bama. It wasn't like Waddle was number one, but there's already a little chemistry there. You know, I could see him maybe coming on. And Mike Gesicki, 115 yards. You know, we talk about the tight end thing being kind of up in the air. He seems like a solid option. Congrats to Jacksonville. One thing on the interesting side of Jacksonville was Marvin Jones had a real good game.
Yeah.
Shenault ended up with 6 catches, too. So you can't be too down. Can't be too down on that. James Robinson did well. Lawrence over 300. I mean, it seems like the Jags win every year in London. Maybe they need to move there.
Yeah, my one prop, player prop yesterday that I liked for the London game was Laviska Shenault over, I think it was like 38.5 receiving yards. He did not look good until the final drive, and then he caught 2 balls and put him over. But he's kind of someone I would expect to be doing better given the opportunity because, right, they have Marvin Jones, and they've got just a bunch of Jags, just another guys. But Laviska Shenault, I mean, he can play. He's kind of that.
I like your Robert Woods comparison on him.
Yeah. Like he's kind of a guy who can do it all. He can run the football if you need it. He can play some wildcat quarterback if needed. He's a nice receiver. He's quick and in and out of his breaks. You just kind of would like to see more there, but it just hasn't been. He's not really consistent enough right now to be anything more than a reach flex play for me.
Do you think Lawrence is a QB2 at this point? It's just matchup dependent.
Yeah.
Because he's been okay.
I mean, his rushing value gives him a somewhat safe floor, but like, I'm skeptical. Just because the Jags are going to get blown out a lot.
Yeah, but you're garbage time. But you're garbage.
They don't have a lot of. You know who's been sucking in garbage time is Jared Goff. Did you hear Dan Campbell chew?
Yes. Out? Let's touch on that. Man, he basically, Dan Campbell was guarded with his words after last week's press conference where he was heartbroken after the Lions lost on the 54-yarder of the Vikings. But he all but, he tried very hard to not throw Jared Goff completely like under the train tracks. But he was just like, we need more from him.
Yeah. Guess who they're playing this week? Jared Goff revenge game.
Matt Stafford.
Against the Rams. And the Matt Stafford revenge game, yes. The Rams, so it's in L.A.
Maybe the Matt, I don't think it's a revenge game for Stafford. I think it's the Matt Stafford grateful game that he's out of there.
Yeah, that's true. right now, over under 49.5, the Rams.
Let me guess, the Rams are 16-point favorite.
14.5. Okay. Pretty hefty. But Jared Goff has been terrible. Like, you cannot play anyone on the Lions offense except maybe DeAndre Swift.
Yeah, Hawkinson, we recommended on Dear Mr. Fantasy yesterday, and he had a good game.
He's been inconsistent, but yeah, I mean, he's still up there. Right now, I think he's like TE6. So he's in the conversation for sure. But if you're looking for consistency on a week-to-week basis, you're not going to get more consistent than him except for Robert Tonyan catching for under 15 yards.
Yeah, no, it's bad in Detroit. And a lot of people thought yesterday would be the game they might win, and they just got, I mean, Cincinnati crushed them. Joe Mixon, good game. Burrow, what a stat. At least 2 touchdowns, first 6 games in a row.
That's
coming off a knee injury. Like, it's one thing to tear your ACL. He tore every ligament.
Yes.
I mean, he had pretty much the same injury Carson Wentz had, which Wentz still hasn't really recovered from, like 3-4 years ago.
Yeah.
And Burrow, man, what a...
Congratulations to anyone that drafted him in a super flex league as a QB2. I was not high on him going into this year just due to the injury. I think he's going to be a great player, but the injury scared me.
It's also
a lot.
The other thing on him too. It's like that division is
tough.
Yeah. The 6 against Ravens, Steelers, and Browns are all like so physical in cold weather too.
Yeah. Jamar Chase has changed the team more than anyone could have imagined. And I know it's Burrow growing into his second year. The difference that quarterbacks, the young quarterbacks see from year 2 to year 1 is very great. But
no, Chase, just the way. Well, the thing is, he just the being able to push the ball down the field with him.
Yeah.
It just opens up the whole offense because you can those deep shots with him and how physical he is and the way he can adjust. I mean, and you, just looking back on that 19 LSU team, I mean, what you Burrow's a top 10 fantasy quarterback and Justin Jefferson and Jamar Chase are top 10 NFL receivers. And that was 2 years ago. Like that team was one of the best ever.
Loaded. Joe Mixon finished as RB3 this week, 23.8 fantasy points. But here's a question. So I'm gonna tell you the top 5 fantasy wide receivers that have been around this year so far. So we got Cooper Kupp, wide receiver.
Shout out, Prodigal Son Kupp for another monster game yesterday. Yeah.
Tyreek Hill, wide receiver 2. Mike Williams, wide receiver 3. Rough game yesterday, but he was wide receiver 1 going into the week. Number 4, Davante Adams. Number 5 is Jamar Chase. I mean, he has not only become a guy like a wide receiver 1 on a team, he is going to challenge for wide receiver 1 in the whole thing when this year's over, when this fantasy season's over. Like, he has been so consistent, and that's what you look for in your fantasy players. Like, one of my favorite fantasy players ever is TJ Houshmandzadeh, because every week I could count on him for at least 60 yards and he's getting a touchdown every other week. That's what I want from a wide receiver.
Yeah, you like, well, it's all about the consistency.
Yes.
Because so many receivers are like the boom or bust guys. Henry Ruggs this year. But like your guys that are like, oh, you can have 3 for 150, but you can have like 1-point games.
Yeah.
And it's like when you're doing fantasy, especially when you're doing head-to-head, like what we're talking about in these leagues, you need those guys that are going to go out and get 7 catches for 59 yards.
Yes.
Especially if you're in half-point or point PPR. And the thing with Jamar Chase, he's a deep threat down the field. He's excellent in the red zone, but he also does catch 5 balls every game. I mean, he's a guy that just does it all. And he looks the part, too. He can fly.
Yep.
I mean, he's just phenomenal. And him and Burrow already having that chemistry, too. You can't say enough how important that is.
Yeah, he can block, too.
Yeah. Oh, the block he had on the Joe Mixon touchdown. Holy cow. Laid some guy out right by the goal line. That was
I'm curious enjoyable. If it'll make people opt out more in college because like that.
I mean, they did that. They did that. I think it'd be weird to do for a whole year if there was no COVID issue, right? Like,
yeah,
like opting out of the bowl game. Okay, I get it. You know, you don't want another Jalen Smith situation where you get hurt in the bowl game and you mess up your draft stock. But if you did it for the whole year, like Nick Bosa probably could have came back, but you know, he was going to be a top three pick regardless. So what's the point? But if you're going into your, you know, whatever it is, junior or senior season, why would you, if you're going to opt out the whole year, why would you not have just declared the year before?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, no, you can't. The problem is, Shay, is you have to be out of college, high school for 3 years. You got to be leave after your redshirt sophomore or junior year.
Right.
So and Chase was so a true, he went nuts his true sophomore year. And so I don't know. I just think it's an interesting thing. But boy, what a favor that story about him not being able to see the NFL ball was for my fantasy drafts. Because I got Chase on all my teams and he was going for like $8-$10 in auctions because everybody was talking about him dropping balls in preseason and overrating it. And that ended up just being, you know, such a gift.
Yeah.
I want to get into this too and call myself, you know, I'm all about owning it. Kirk Cousins has fried my mind. He's melted me. 2 weeks, so he has this great start to the year, first three games. I'm like, oh, he's finally breaking out. I was like, you know, I remember week four on here, 2 weeks ago, I was like, Kirk Cousins played some of the best ball of his career. He's got these home games, and now he's got three good receivers, blah, 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 blah. Comes out, and I mean, they score 7 at home against Cleveland.
Yep.
They score 19 against Detroit. I'm just like, F this guy. I trusted you, Kirk Cousins, and I'm a fool. So I bench him on the road, and on our FF Pod segment for the football show, I was like, can't start him at Carolina. Minnesota's not as good on the road. Carolina's got a good pasty. 373 and 3 touchdowns, including a walk-off to your boy, KJ Osborne. I don't know, man. I just can't do right with Cousins. I start him. He sucks. I bench him. He goes off. Like, you're an enigma, Kirk Cousins. I can't figure it out.
That was, in my opinion, an all-time terrible coaching decision by Mike Zimmer. With I think there was like 10 or 11 minutes left in the second quarter and he's chasing points. So it's 12-7 and he's going for 2. What do you do? There's so much time left. Like if it was going to be none of these teams could cross midfield, okay, I can see it. I mean, the game ended up hitting the over. Like it was a high scoring game.
Yeah,
I went to overtime and stuff like that, but it's just way too early. I love going for 2, but if you're going to do it super early, do it, like, be consistent with it. Like, if you just kind of pick your spots, I don't love that. So they missed it there. They missed it the second time they did it, and now it's just like, all right.
They left Carolina in the game.
Yeah. So it was an 8-point game. Sam Darnold drives them down the field. They go score a touchdown, and it should have been a 10-point game. The game should have been over.
On the Carolina side, Darnold, that second week in a row,
had the dread. There were... I don't know how much of that game you watched. There were so many drops in that game. It was maddening. Like Robbie Anderson.
Yeah, he had a touchdown, but that was it.
He had, I think, 10, 11 targets. He must have had like 3 or 4 drops. DJ Moore had a bunch. It was crazy how many drops. And I know Sam Darnold's completion percentage looks horrible. I think it was maybe like 40, sub 45%.
And he had the bad, last week he had the 3 picks against Philly.
Yeah, so I mean, bad look all around, but his receivers did not help him out one bit yesterday.
Well, I can't figure out what Minnesota's offense is at this point because on paper, you got to love it. Thielen, as long as Thielen's healthy, he had a huge game yesterday. Justin Jefferson had a solid game. Dalvin Cook, over 100, back healthy. I mean, in theory, there should be a lot of a lot of fantasy value there going forward. So Kirk Cousins, maybe I'll get it right with you next week, but 3 weeks in a row.
So we had the matchup that was supposed to be, you know, number one pick versus number two pick. Dalvin Cook had a good game. But Christian McCaffrey on Saturday, and he's been out for three weeks already. They put him on IR,
which means he's out for
at least 3 more weeks. What are you doing if you drafted Christian McCaffrey? Because Chuba Hubbard is a nice handcuff,
but he's not.
He's all right.
I mean, like, it's very similar to last year.
He's
Mike Davis.
Yeah, he's like a low level RB2, a mid level RB2. But what do you do? Because the only way you had Christian McCaffrey is if you had the first pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're not picking again until likely, you know, whatever, 24 or 20.
So you're probably in trouble right now unless you like have Ja'Marr Chase and a bunch of the other. It's tough, but I mean, you can't trade. Like, who's going to trade for him when he's got this recurring hamstring injury? I mean, I guess you could try to go after, if you're in a desperate spot, you're a McCaffrey owner, you could go after some of the top teams in the league that are like locked up playoff spots, and maybe you could dangle him to them because they're thinking, hey, I can make a move for McCaffrey. I'm already in the playoffs and going to make it. Maybe that's what you do if you need instant help. If you're sitting 2-4 right now, because your season's on the line if it is.
I think if you are a team that is it's hard to judge by leads, but you know, 4-2 or better, and you can afford maybe a loss or two and you're still going to get in the playoffs, I would recommend buying Christian McCaffrey super low right now. He's going to be out, you know, at least 3 weeks, and you understand that. But if you can tread water and get in the dance and have a healthy, what you'd assume is going to be a healthy Christian McCaffrey, and you can get him at 10 cents on the dollar, that's a move I'm making every time.
Yeah, and that's for teams that have a 4-2 or better record, you probably
say. Yes.
You know, because I think if you're 2-4, 3-3,
you can't buy
long right now.
Yeah.
No, but it's fascinating.
Yeah. One guy from the AFC West that I am almost about to press the panic button on,
okay,
is a guy that I was preaching you need to get this year, and that's Darren Waller.
Mm.
Very upsetting. So I mean, week one, 19 targets. 10 catches, 105 yards, a touchdown. I'm just like, God damn, I'm such a genius. You know, he's
thank you, Steve Shay.
He was going to, you know, challenge for tight end one. Since then, he has not been over 65 yards. He had 65 yards once, so he hasn't hit 66 yards once. He has one touchdown since then. You know, yesterday he catches all his targets, but he had five targets. You kind of want better from a guy you're drafting round two, round three. He's been disappointing. Now, I know play calling has changed. John Gruden is out. Greg Olson is going to take over play caller. Rich Bisaccia is the head coach. Maybe they're going to change things up. I didn't see anything that was discouraging last week. Rich Bisaccia called him a top 10 player in the league.
They threw up 34 points on the good Denver defense. That was a really good effort yesterday.
They did. I am getting close to pressing the panic button on him. This feels eerily like Jonathan Taylor last year, who I had in almost every one of my leagues, couldn't have been higher on, and I just at some point decided, you know what, I'm going down with the ship. If it comes to that, I hope he can turn around, and he did, and he brought me to a title. But can Darren Waller do that too? I'm beginning to get a little skeptical. I need to see another game under Rich Bisaccia with Greg Olson calling the plays, but I'm getting worried about my guy.
Well, let me tell you who's not going to let you down during football season, and that is your go-to spot for killer wings and ice cold beer. And they even had me in a commercial recently, and that is Hooters. Football season means all the big games on the big screen, and it's the only place that has the world famous Hooter girls. And they actually love football just as much as you do, and they're a hell of a lot better looking than all of your friends. Hooters has game day specials to keep you hydrated and filled up with your Hooters favorites all season long. If you can't make it to Hooters for the big game, you could still get your Hooters fix at home and save $10 with code Barstool when you order online. Check out Hooters.com/Barstool for details. And I thought that commercial came out pretty good.
Yeah.
Except for the fact that I had to say sup, fellas, on 14 different takes in like a minute and a half. And I Caleb was just like laughing so hard. Caleb Presley, he was the tour guide, and he was enjoying it. I think he just kept making me do it because it was making him laugh. But whatever, it went well. Shout out to Glenny Balls.
Look at this guy complaining about 14 takes. Next thing you know, you're gonna beat the man in peanut M&M's in your trailer.
It's a funny dynamic, the commercial game and the acting game. I flew to Fort Lauderdale and was there for like 2 days for like 7 minutes of actual work. You just sit around for 4 hours, and then they put you on the set for like 4 minutes. I don't know. Funny deal. But you know what I'll say? Barstool Sports, you never know where life's going to find you. I can't believe I was at a Hooters commercial. It still doesn't seem real. Yeah. But check out Hooters.com. Get you some wings, fancy football.
Great food at Hooters. Yeah, very underrated.
Beautiful Hooters girls. You can't beat it. Still, they always had a great ham and cheese sandwich too, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, the Hooters, yeah. That's kind of a sneaky sleeper order at Hooters.
Speaking of sneaky sleepers, yesterday, recommended on our stream, recommended T.Y. Hilton. He had a nice game. I said he was going to be kind of like a plug and play
four
guy.
4 for 80, right?
4 for 80, caught all of his targets. He had 3 catches for 70 at halftime. I had a text queued up to play Moy Marty. It was like, I'm going to need a cut up with this, but he didn't do as much.
Well, what happened?
He did basically exactly what
we expected. Wentz only threw 20 passes because they won that game by a ton. And while we're talking about the Colts, let's get into, you mentioned Jonathan Taylor's name. Is he just maybe he's one of those guys that's like a slow starter and just picks it up. Because 14 for 145, two touchdowns. You know, we saw the Monday night game when he had the 75-yard swing pass for a touchdown. He turned on the Jets. And it just feels like I said it last week. I gave out Indy plus 325 to win the AFC South last week, even though they were 1-4. Feels like Wentz is coming together with Frank Wright. They've got a pretty good defense. They had a bad start, but it seems like this team's getting it together a little bit. And Taylor, because what we saw this last year, he had the awful start. And now he's what, RB4?
He's RB4 this year, which is wild from his start. So we got Derrick Henry, Austin Eckler, Zeke, Jonathan Taylor, then Najee Harris. Very, very impressive. One thing I would like to point out about Indy, their defense is a sneaky good play.
And they play the weak schedule. Crappy division.
Yep, they're playing that horrible division. 49 points so far through 6 weeks. Solid performances from the defense. Obviously, not a good game against the Ravens, but the division schedule is going to be very soon.
I think Wentz, I mean, super flex leagues, I think he's number two QB. I do. I think he's getting it together. The 400-yard effort against Baltimore last Monday night, and let's talk about how that aged, because look what Baltimore did to Herbert and the Chargers yesterday. And you were talking about that game on Dear Mr. Fantasy, like, hey, this is going to be fascinating to watch.
Yeah.
It looked a little weird because the public was big on the Chargers, but man, they got, 6 points for the Chargers.
Shellacked.
I mean, yeah, they have like 20 yards rushing in the whole game?
I think Austin
Eckler had six carries for 7 yards.
Yeah.
And then Mike Williams, granted he was banged up going in, but he had 2 for 27.
Tough scene from the Chargers. Maybe they were reading a little bit of their newspaper.
I think it's an isolated incident. I think it's one of those things. This is the non-panic button. That's a tough matchup in Baltimore. Flying cross country, weird game. I think they'll bounce back.
I was very close to placing a Justin Herbert MVP bet last week, and I'm glad I did not. Because this game, I mean, definitely takes a hit.
Yeah.
6 points. Another guy that you were recommending very highly yesterday on Dear Mr. Fantasy. We got a ton of questions about him. Khalil Herbert.
Yes, and we gave him out as a guy to pick up last week, too. 19 for 97 and a touchdown. And the thing with his value is directly tied into Damian Williams, you know, being banged up, and David Montgomery. But for a spot start guy, he ended up a hell of a lot better than Devontae Booker. You know, the people are asking about Darrell Williams, who had 2 touchdowns and 60 yards, a good game.
Yep.
Devontae Booker, who had a good opportunity, but I was worried about the Giants against the Rams. And the Khalil Herbert, but 19 for 97 and a touchdown. Solid game. And then when you look at Chicago, they got to run the ball with Justin Fields. I mean, that's the only way. They got to run the ball. They got to have the threat of his running because that passing game is not good. So keep an eye on whether Damian Williams is coming back. But I think Herbert, you know, if he keeps getting opportunities, he's proven he can do it.
I'm interested to see how that goes for them this week because they're playing the number one run defense in football.
I think it's a nightmare. Matchup for Chicago because it's just Tampa's weak pass D, but I don't think Chicago on the road with Fields right now can take advantage of it.
Yeah, the Bucs are better at home, but yeah, the Bucs are 13-point favorites. That line makes me uncomfortable, but you can't run on us. You just can't.
I think it's a bad matchup, and I also think that last year y'all lost the Bucs lost the Thursday night game when Brady forgot it was fourth down, and so it's kind of a little bit of a revenge from that.
Shout out Pro Football Doc, because I remember when Vita Vea got hurt, I was devastated, and he tweeted that he could be back by the Super Bowl. He was back by the NFC Championship game, so huge shout out Pro Football Doc.
One other thing I want to get into, too, on the non-panic button, and I want to just go on a little bit of a rant on this on National Society, is all you son of a bitches that are jumping off the Chiefs wagon and bagging on Patrick Mahomes. Stu Finer, who I love dearly, said on a tweet yesterday, Kermit the Frog robbed Kansas City of $500 million. It was like early third quarter, and Mahomes was kind of struggling. And I was like, Stu, he had 3 of the best seasons in NFL history. He led them to a Super Bowl. He won an MVP and had over 5,150 touches. This is an egregious over panic on KC. They're 3-3 now. He threw for 375 yards and 2 touchdowns. Defense played a lot better yesterday, but we're not getting to that. I don't know, man. We live in a society, a hot take society. I know they got their ass beat by Buffalo last week, but Patrick Mahomes, I mean, y'all are talking smack about the wrong dude. That's just my thoughts.
I also had a tweet out yesterday that we need to hold him, stop giving Mahomes a free pass. That interception that he threw.
Oh, he made mistakes.
I mean, if Jameis Winston throws that, or if Sam Darnold throws that, or if Zach Wilson throws that, if Daniel Jones, if one of these young quarterbacks makes that throw, it's instantly viral. This guy stinks. He's a bust, whatever. Mahomes is like, all right, well, you know, He does that sometimes. That's just Pat.
But he has like, I know he had two picks in this, but he doesn't throw. His first year, he threw more interceptions starting. I guess, does he have four this year now? Something like that. What QB rankings? He's still number one, right?
He is, and he's the number one fantasy QB still.
I don't know. I just feel like people are like wanting to see the Chiefs fail because they've been good for 3 or 4 years, and that's like a societal thing.
Yep.
Whenever somebody's good for 3 or 4 years, everybody wants change, all that. We saw it with Golden State in basketball.
Yeah.
But I just – everybody's putting KC in their grave. I think y'all are barking up the wrong tree.
They're going to make the playoffs. They're for sure going to
make playoffs. And all of a sudden they're back in the division thing now too. I mean, granted, the Chargers have a tiebreaker, but – I don't know. I just feel like there's a lot of anti-Patrick Mahomes hate, and I'm not going to stand for it. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, Patrick Mahomes, like Chevy Silverado, is the strongest, most advanced. Silverado, he's the most advanced quarterback ever. Silverado's strong, advanced, dependable, and hardworking. Obviously, football season is in full swing, so it's time to up your tailgating game. The Silverado is available with multi-flex tailgate with 6 convenient configurations. It'll give you a step up, quite literally, on your tailgate game. There's the primary tailgate, which opens up with the push of a button from a key fob from inside the truck. The inner gate, which folds into a large step for easy getting in and out of the bed. And there's an easy access configuration with the inner gate folding down, allowing you to reach further into the bed. It can almost become a desk or a surface if you need for your tailgating meal. Chevy Silverado, modern and advanced with a ton of grit, a partner in getting things done. Silverado is strong and dependable, like the people who drive them, the strongest, most advanced Silverado ever. Shout out my buddy Chris Falk, Steelers fan out in Pittsburgh, who has a Chevy Silverado. And Kelly in Vegas said her dad, it's the only car he'll drive. It's the last one for 20 years. She just got a new one. Incredible.
Chevy's still like a rock. Tell you what else has been dependable we need to touch on here, and that's this Arizona offense. Kyler Murray, 4 more touchdowns yesterday. DeAndre Hopkins with, I don't even know how you describe the play he made on that touchdown.
Couldn't tackle him in a phone booth.
I mean, man, but you look at this thing. A.J. Green had a good game, 79 touchdown. Christian Kirk. Kyler, it's tough in fantasy because he's distributing the ball, but that's the way to make this offense successful. Yep. But it's hard to know what's going to happen with Christian Kirk or A.J. Green or Rondale Moore right now every week. But that's the beauty of the offense. They got 4 guys. They got those 3. You start DeAndre Hopkins, you don't think anything of it. Do you think Zach Ertz could have tight end value for them?
That's a good question because he's coming in. He's got to learn the offense. I think that is, you know, Max Williams, you know, had some weeks where he was failing to fantasy relevant, but you never go into your week confident on Sunday being like, all right, I got Max Williams playing the tight end. I can, you know, count on 6 points here outside. You never got that. Ertz, certainly, he's not like speed guy or anything like that. He is a guy who is dependable, who the quarterback knows where he's going to be, and he's going to be able to make catches. I'm a little bit hesitant to label him a fantasy starter. I think he has tight end one upside. Like, he could be a starter.
I just think there's too many bodies there, like I just said. I mean, you look at that offense, you've got 4 receivers to feed already and a tight end, and they throw the ball to Edmonds, to James Conner, you know, is running. When they get leads like they did yesterday, Conner's the guy. I mean, it's very game flow dependent. If it's getting wild and they're behind, they're going to have Edmonds in there. And if they got a lead, they're going to try to run the ball with Conner. But that's what makes their offense successful, is they've got a lot of guys, but it's annoying in fantasy.
I think Ertz is going to end up being just a red zone target.
Yeah, I could see that for sure. Let's talk about the bet that, or not the bet, I guess, but like what Dave offered Frank. So Dave Portnoy, obviously the founder and president of Barstool Sports, offered Frank the Tank a chance to live with him and go with him wherever he goes forever if the Cardinals go 17-0. When I first read that, I was like, wait a second, the Cardinals are up 17-0 right now. And I was like, is this real? But no, he's talking about 17-0 on the season. You know, I don't think they are in a just murderer's row of a division. Happening. Like, they could lose
Dave's saying that because it ain't happening. I mean, don't get me wrong, though. They are 6-0. They're playing great football, but
they're dropping 1 100%. Oh. And like with Kyler, like late in the season, we saw it last year. Like, no, they're not going undefeated.
Yeah. Well, Kyler hurt his shoulder last year in week 11 and he played through it and wasn't the same, but 17-0. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't see
but it. But can y'all imagine a life? Let's hypothetically think about a life where Dave, I would love to see it. I think Dave's brain would just melt down after 2 weeks of having Frank as his roommate. And Frank, like, just imagine, like.
So the bet was, like, Frank gets to travel with him?
No, yes. Frank gets to live with him, too.
Well, I got that, but, like, yeah.
But can you imagine, everywhere. You realize there are 162 Mets games a year. if you're living with someone, like the daily grind, this isn't a once a week thing like we see with the Dolphins. That would be something. That's content I want to see.
Yeah. That would be nuts. It would be the scene I would love to see is just like Dave rubbing elbows with, you know, the beautiful people in the world of Miami, and then just Frank next to him.
Dave, Svetlana, and Frank kicking at the house.
Trying to talk about the Mets. And
Frank's
and
just at the bar. Yeah.
Yeah. That would be, or, you know, maybe Dave can film his soda reviews.
Yeah.
Yeah. The pizza. Maybe you can merge the pizza and soda reviews.
Yeah.
Before we look ahead to next week, let's talk a little bit about Roman swipes. Most guys have tried different ways to last longer, but thinking about baseball doesn't always work. The folks at Roman, an online men's health company, are changing the game with Roman swipes, the secret to longer-lasting sex. Roman swipes are a clinically proven way to last longer in bed. They're effective, easy to use, and fast-acting, but they don't require a prescription. Romans can ship swipes to you in discreet, unmarked packaging, and each swipes packet is small enough to hide in your wallet for whenever you need it and whenever the time comes. They're super easy to use. Just take the swipes out of the packet, swipe it on, let it dry, and you're good to go. That's it. Go to GetRoman.com/fantasy to get your first month of swipes for only $5, where you can choose a monthly plan. That's GetRoman.com/fantasy.
I have a take about the Ravens and their wide receiving core.
Let's hear it, because I've been super strong on the it's awesome that even when Lamar doesn't have great passing games, all the balls go to Hollywood Brown and Andrews. But Bateman did get out there.
Yep. So Hollywood Brown is right now wide receiver 6. So he's just barely ahead of Deebo Samuel, who's on a bye this week. So essentially wide receiver 7. But, you know, he's having a great season. Next week they play the Bengals, which I think the Ravens are going to put a beat down on them. And I love the Bengals. But then they have a bye. Rashad Bateman is back. He had 6 targets, 4 catches, 29 yards yesterday. Now is the time to sell Hollywood Brown. If you have Hollywood Brown on your team, and you maybe he could be expendable if he's, you know, I don't even want to say he's your wide receiver 3, but you probably drafted him to be your wide receiver 3.
He's playing like a 2 or low 1 right
now. He's playing like a 1, yeah. He's clearly outperforming that. This is the time to sell Hollywood Brown, because yesterday we saw Rashad Bateman out-target him. Now, that's not to say that he's going to outperform him, and he will on every week, but Rashad Bateman was the guy in camp to be like, this guy could be rookie of the year. This guy's going to light the league on fire.
Dominated in Minnesota, too. Incredible college career.
Yes. So now I think is the time to, A, pick up Rashad Bateman. Right now he is owned in 28% of leagues, so he's available in 72% of leagues right now. You can get him on waivers. He was a guy I mentioned last week to pick up because he was going to be active and you're going to need to hold him for a week or two. But Hollywood Brown, I think, is a guy you would be wise to sell on. So yesterday, 5.5 fantasy points and half point PPR. Again, going against Cincy, then he's got a bye. This is the time where you can sell him and hopefully get a nice piece to accentuate what you would hope will be a successful playoff run down the stretch. And I think you get maximum value for him right now.
So you throw Hollywood Brown in your hypothetical trade for Christian McCaffrey is what you're saying.
That's a very interesting question.
Because that's like, because you sell high on Brown when his value's high for a desperate team that needs something, immediate help, thinking they're getting a number one receiver.
I think in reality that makes sense. I think that's almost too rich right now, because if you're a Christian McCaffrey owner, you're looking at, wow, someone's offering me wide receiver 6. I feel like you have to take that in a heartbeat.
He does have a bye week coming up, though, too.
He does have a bye week coming up. I think that's a pretty fair deal, honestly, because if you look at production to this point, Hollywood Brown wins that trade every time, but Christian McCaffrey will be coming back. I think that's a pretty nice deal, actually, for both teams, honestly, because if you're a struggling team with McCaffrey and you got nothing, you're going to have, you know, Hollywood Brown playing this week. Yes, he has a bye, but then he's going to, you know, hopefully play the rest of the season. And then Christian McCaffrey, you just got to kind of take your time on if you're a team that's, you know, 4-2 or better. You can wait on him and, you know, hopefully you reap the rewards in December.
Yeah, no, I like it. I think it's kind of a trade situation where both teams can win. Because if you're – there's got to just be so many teams panicking that took McCaffrey 1 right now that are 2-4 or whatever. Because even if you handcuffed him with Hubbard, he hadn't done that good.
There was a guy who DM'd me before his drafts. He said, I have the number one pick in 3 leagues. He's like, do I have to take Christian McCaffrey? And I said, there's no other player. Like, well, he's unanimous.
If it's full point PPR, there was no choice.
Yeah. I mean, even if it's not, like, I guess Derrick Henry could potentially challenge, but yeah, like, you have to take Christian McCaffrey number one overall, and, you know, obviously in a tough spot. So yeah, I think Hollywood Brown for Christian McCaffrey right now is actually a pretty plausible deal.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, I think Hollywood Brown, sell high if you're a Hollywood Brown owner.
Looking ahead to next week and some of the matchups, the game I've got superstarred as fantasy value everywhere is this Chiefs-Titans game.
That's the only game right now that has an over-under over 50.
Yeah, it doesn't. Like, I look around right now and you look at some of these matchups, like Broncos-Cleveland with them being banged up, Panthers-Giants, Jets-Pats. I mean, Green Bay football team could get kind of wild, even though, by the way, the Taylor Heineke. Yeah, I think he's showing why he's a backup. He's looked really rough the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, he was a start for me going into this week just because the Chiefs defense had been so bad. Overall, I mean, he managed the game for the first half well. They were leading, but, you know, the defense had been playing well against Mahomes, and that didn't really last. So, yeah, Taylor Heineke, we might need to pump the brakes on as being a safe QB2 in super flex leagues.
I think so. And then look at these matchups. So the Chiefs Titans is the obvious shootout. I've got another game that I think can have sneaky fantasy value where there might be pickup and some guys available that you could use. And that's the Atlanta at Miami game.
Yes.
I think that game could get a little wild, and it's an off the radar game that people aren't going to necessarily see it, but Tua threw for over 300.
Looks good.
He looked better. Jalen Waddle, 10 catches.
Yep.
Mike Gesicki, who's definitely going to be owned already, but he had 115 yards. And Atlanta, I mean, not in a sexy way, but playing a little better. We've seen Cordarrelle Patterson come on. Kyle Pitts had the huge game in London. You know, maybe he's coming on. Hopefully, could this be the Calvin Ridley breakout game? Could it be?
A guy that we were recommending buying low on last
week. This is probably a week to try to make that move.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I like that game a lot too. Cordarrelle Patterson.
Cordarrelle Patterson?
So
did you just accidentally start something there?
No, I mean, the Falcons official handle tweeted out Cordarrelle. I think 2 weeks ago when he had the three touchdown game, but I love that. Yeah, this week, I think Thursday Night Football, honestly, I like Tim Patrick a lot on the Broncos. He's just
weird.
Kind of a rock solid consistency. He's not a super high ceiling guy, but as far as floor, he's pretty safe.
Yeah, he is. And Bridgewater seems like he likes going to him.
Yes.
And that's a big part of him. And, you know, Bridgewater threw for over 300 because they were playing from behind. Bridgewater actually had three picks yesterday, which is something you don't see out of him too much. But I don't have a problem with Tim Patrick if you're looking for somebody safe.
Yeah. A must start this week. And, you know, depending on how heavily your league is with defenses, they could be available right now. Arizona, they're the number two defense. They're playing Houston next week. Houston looked horrible.
Yeah.
Yesterday against Indy. Certainly mistake prone. I think the Cardinals are just going to absolutely blow them out. One kind of sneaky under the radar start I like, and you mentioned him before earlier in the program as being kind of an inconsistent guy, and I can see where you're going with that, but for his body type and the type of receiver he gets a fairly consistent amount of targets, so I think he represents a fairly safe floor. Like, he's not going to get you 0 points. He can get you, you know, 30-40 yards as a basement, but as a ceiling, he can be, you know, 150 yard two touchdown guy, and that's Henry Ruggs.
No, yeah, Henry Ruggs is like the new, like, DeSean Jackson used to be the guy that was like this. Mm-hmm. T.Y. Hilton was like this. The just complete boomer bust guy.
Well, what I'm saying is I think he has a relatively safe floor. Is he's going to get five targets a game.
Yeah.
So I think he's at least
going to get more targets as Waller's getting less. They're distributing the ball is what's going on.
But the Eagles struggled against Tyreek Hill. He had the, you know, what was it, 10, 11 catches for 186 and three touchdowns. Henry Ruggs is not Tyreek Hill, and I'm not trying to say that. But he is a similar type of receiver to Tyreek Hill. So if you need a wide receiver three this week or a flex play and he's available, Henry Ruggs is the guy I like a lot against Philly.
Like that. I got one other guy I want to make sure I bring up on this because it hasn't been announced yet. They're Monday night next week, but I think this is going to be the Michael Thomas return. You know, it makes sense. They said it was going to be October. It makes sense to hold them out till a bye. The Saints are in Seattle next Monday. I know you have been bagging on him. Him and Jameis have probably not have much of a chemistry.
It's got to be better than Marquez Callaway.
Well, yeah. I mean, who caught? Oh, yeah. But the problem, okay, so Drew Brees and Michael Thomas had just an elite chemistry. Yes. There's no doubt. What are your expectations? Do you think Michael Thomas can come in and be, do you think he could be a wide receiver two, a wide receiver three, a low one? Like, what are you thinking here with him and Jameis?
So shout out the guy on Twitter, my guy, Jameis one of one.
I like Jameis one of one too.
I do like him. He's pointed out, and part of this is correct, that Jameis is a kingmaker, as far as fantasy at least. I think he's thinking real world. But, you know, in the fantasy world, Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, all had their best seasons with Jameis. He slings it. The problem is how much of a leash is he going to be on with Sean Payton? Because what we see is, you know, Taysom Hill's coming in around the red zone and, you know, he's getting sneakily more action. So Jameis is a little bit of a worry for me. I mean, he is on pace for 44 touchdowns. So
I don't see that continuing.
Yeah, but I mean, he's throwing, he threw 30 passes last game, but we've seen him steadily be in that low 20 area. Is that going to be enough for Michael Thomas to be fantasy relevant? You know, when he was with the Bucs, he's slinging it, you know, 30, 40, sometimes more a game. It gives me a little bit of pause because somebody mentioned this on Dear Mr. Fantasy with Allen Robinson yesterday, or you did. You know, if Justin Fields throws for 200 yards, then maybe Allen Robinson becomes fantasy relevant.
Maybe.
I think Michael Thomas is going to be in a similar situation because, you know, we talked about it the first couple of weeks is Jameis is throwing for 150 yards a game. So is all that going to Michael Thomas? I mean,
well, I also think though, one thing you're missing, Saints don't really have an NFL receiving core right now. And Michael Thomas comes back, and then hopefully Traquan Smith comes back. And he's, I'm not saying Traquan's elite, but he should be on
stretches the field.
He should be on an NFL roster.
Yeah.
And then you look at a lot of the rest of this. I mean, you pick up Kenny Stills off the trash heap and Marquez Callaway, Deontay Harris, the gadget guy. He's fast. But you know, he's not. Not reliable. I don't know. I think they'll throw more with Mike Thomas and Traquan Smith is what I'm saying in this offense.
Okay.
But either way, very interesting. I expect Michael Thomas back Monday night. We're taping this a week ahead, but I think this is his target return.
I'm looking forward to that return. I think if we're comparing the two, Jameis and Justin Fields, Jameis has a much higher ceiling and a safer floor for passing yards, which would help Michael Thomas. So, I would actually rank Michael Thomas ahead of Allen Robinson right now.
I definitely would because Jameis against Justin Fields.
Yes.
I mean, and you know, you got to think Jameis, Sean Payton's passing offense, you know, maybe he starts slower. He's learning the new offense, but he could come on possibly as the season goes. Thursday, you mentioned Tim Patrick. Do we have any other Thursday night recommendations? The Cleveland running back situation's
amazing. It looks like D'Ernest Johnson's going to be the guy that gets carries. Dimitri Felton is a nice gadget player from UCLA, kind of a running. He's in Yahoo. He's listed as a running back and a receiver, which as soon as I saw that, I was like, oh my God, we have Cordarrelle Patterson V2. Very excited, but zero carries yesterday. He had two catches for 14 yards. Not a guy that I am super high on as far as a running back. If he's going to be a receiver and be more involved in the passing game out of the backfield, I could potentially be interested with their injuries. I don't necessarily see it. I think D'Ernest Johnson is going to be the guy to get a bunch of carries on Thursday night. So I think he's going to be a fantasy start, but I'd be a little bit nervous. I'd monitor that very closely up until game time.
Okay. And one other guys to look ahead with the Lions Rams matchup next week, Goff going against the Rams, Stafford going against the Lions. I think this is a spot Stafford should have a huge game at home against Detroit. And I think that if you're desperate for some starts, I know Higbee's been kind of, he had 5 or 6 yesterday. I think this could be a good week to start him. And I think if you're like really desperate and dealing with bye week stuff, I mean, I wouldn't mind. I don't hate looking at Van Jefferson either just for this 1 week. Because I think this is a game Stafford and the Rams are going to have a huge, huge game.
Are there any guys, so we're taping this Monday morning. This gets released Tuesday morning for waivers. Are there any guys you really like for a pickup this week? So a couple guys that come to mind, Donovan Peoples-Jones, you already touched on. He's only 2% of leagues, had a monster week last week.
I'm worried about Mayfield.
I think we're going to see a lot of the week before it's David Njoku. I think the Browns are going to be, someone's going to pop up and they're going to have a huge week. Maybe it's Rashard Higgins this week, who knows? But someone's going to pop up and have a monster game. And then I wouldn't depend on that.
I know he's probably owned most. I don't know the percentage Jones on Sterling Shepard right now. I'm not sure what it is. But the opportunity, Daniel Jones throws to him a ton. They're without Golladay, Tony.
Hopefully Tony's back. I mean, he was ruled out very quickly.
For the game. I don't know, man. It's a lingering ankle injury. Yeah. I think even if he's supposed to be back, you got to be concerned the fact that he can't stay out there. So I know Sterling Shepard's probably owned in a decent amount already, but he's a guy. I mean, the target share is there.
Yeah.
So he's one I'm looking at pretty strong.
What do you think about Kenyon Drake?
He had a good game yesterday with touchdowns.
20.3 fantasy points, touchdowns.
What's up?
20.3 fantasy points, 2 touchdowns.
Look, I like it. I think Drake, you talk about we always talk about the no running back strategy thing. Drake is, you know, Nyheim Hines, Drake, also McKissick in Washington.
Yes.
We mentioned because Gibson's being banged
8
up.
8 catches, yep.
Gibson being banged up. Those guys, we always mention them. You can get them for nothing.
Yes.
And they can get you the 10 to 15 points. And I don't know that, I think Drake probably had his best game of the year here, but he still has a role because he's obviously the pass catching back for them. And it's going to be Jacobs as the runner and him as the pass catcher. So I think Drake's like a solid, you know, number 3 or 4 back. But when you have bye week stuff, you can plug him in as your number 2 and he's going to, you know, hopefully get you that 8 or 10. So that's where I am with him.
Yeah, Kenyon Drake, you want to see him do really well because coming into the season, he was like, okay, this might be the Raiders back to own. Peyton Barber was a healthy scratch yesterday coming off a turf toe. So maybe the current regime likes him more. But then you look a little bit closer, he had 6 total touches. So it's like, all right, he had 4 carries, 2 catches. One of them was a nice wheel route for a touchdown. Very nice, but I don't know if I can necessarily depend on that. One guy that I think is going to be a very sneaky pickup that you can probably get for nothing. He's owned in 9% of leagues. It's Tariq Cohen.
Okay.
So I know we saw a big game from Khalil Herbert, but Tariq Cohen is going to be, he was on the PUP list, the physically unable to perform list. He's going to be coming back against the Bucs. Guys that do well are guys that can catch the ball. And Tariq Cohen is one of the best in the league at catching the ball out of the backfield. You can split him out. He's a nice player like that, the human joystick. He's a guy that I would look, if he is, you know, practicing this week and healthy, he's a guy that I would speculatively add as a potential very nice stash that you can get for zero.
I still just worry about Fields and the passing game part of it. I mean, but it will Fields check it down. You think he'll check it down?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'm big on McKissick, who I said. I think he's an ad because he like had 85 catches last year, too. So I think he's probably my top waiver ad or one of them. And then if Shepard's available, I like him, too. Those are kind of two of the guys I'm looking at.
One other one I went to bring up was Rico Basco's guy, OJ Howard. Or no, sorry, this was Jersey Jerry's guy, OJ Howard. 7 targets, 6 catches, 49 yards, 1 touchdown, 13.9 fantasy points. He's owned in 1% of leagues.
What's the Gronk situation?
Gronk should be coming back, so I'm going to pump the brakes on OJ Howard, even though they are going to scheme up plays for him to get the ball and just use his athleticism. We saw 3 times they did like kind of a fake block tight end screen to him and just kind of let him get out in the open. A prop I would pay very, very close attention to is OJ Howard catches. If it's over, under 2.5 or lower, hammer the over.
Okay. Because they're trying to get him the ball.
Even if Gronk plays, yes.
Okay. And what do you think about one other guy I want to mention? Alex Collins looked really good last night.
In the second half.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, it's true. The parlay, my Sunday night parlay.
So good.
My Sunday night parlay looked awesome because the Lockett call was right.
Yes.
We didn't win, but I did feel at least the effort was good on the parlay. We got to see what's going on with Chris Carson in the week ahead, but Collins does look serviceable if he's out. I just don't. Saints have a good run defense, though.
I have some. Yes, I would agree. I had some just brutal, not news, but so I watched the Bucks all 22 every week, and then my fantasy football factory parlay that was boosted on Thursday night was based around a Chris Godwin touchdown
with him being back in the area.
Leonard Fournette got the over receiving yards in the first quarter, so I needed Bucks money line, and then Chris Godwin for it to catch a touchdown. So I watched the all 22 back. So if you recall, the end of the game, very controversial ending. Cam Brate catches the ball short of the first down by like half a yard. They get the first down, kneel it out. I watched that play back. Chris Godwin is wide open for a touchdown.
Oh.
He has his hand up.
That hurts.
So Brady makes that throw. He didn't look to him. If Brady makes that throw, we hit. Everything wins.
Two in a row.
Tough. That's the way it goes sometimes.
It does, but it shows. I mean, your Thursday one and my Sunday one at least had chances, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about parlays, and we've each hit one so far. I mean, we're talking about 4, 5, 7, 8 to 1 shot. So, I mean, if you hit one every few weeks, you're doing good.
Yep. Yeah, and we appreciate everyone for following along. I get a ton of interaction whenever those go out with the boosted odds, especially in the shareable bet slips that people are riding. So we'll love to see that. But yeah, this has been another fun week. We got some fun stuff coming next week. I think something I want to do is release some updated fantasy rankings, like kind of a mid-season.
Yes, I think we should do a mid-season report. Yeah,
because, you know, as after next Monday night, we're halfway through the fantasy season.
Let's do that. Let's have a report card mid-season and what we were right on, what we were wrong on too.
And also just like guys to trade for, because, you know, my rankings right now, you know, Hollywood Brown is going to be much lower, even though he's wide receiver 6 right now. He's going to be going into a bye next week. He's going to have fewer games than like a Cordell Patterson. He will, you know, I have a much lower grade on him. So he might be, you know, in the, you know, late teens, early 20s.
Yeah. Another guy I'd look to trade right now is Adam Thielen, because I worry about him holding up. It seems like he had that huge game on Sunday, but I feel like the last few years, like week 8, week 9, week 10, he starts getting banged up and breaking down. So I think his value right now might be good on that.
Okay.
Too.
All right. I like that. But yeah, this has been a fun show.
Thanks to Miller Lite,
thank
as
you
always,
to
sponsor.
All our sponsors.
Yeah, great tasting, less filling, only 96 calories. Can't beat that. With Fantasy Football, we'll have our Thursday night parlay out. Dear Mr. Fantasy, every Sunday, 11:30. Appreciate all you guys interacting on that. That's become, Shay, I know how much you enjoy doing that show
yes.
every week.
Yes. Oh, it's honestly my favorite, like, 45 minutes of the week. You get to talk fantasy right before the actives inact, or right after the actives inactives come out. A lot of questions we feel with so many on Khalil Herbert and Devontae Booker this week. But we also got some, you know, big ones, very different ones that were very interesting. So appreciate everyone for tuning in and interacting with that. But I think it's about time to clock out, buddy.
I think it's time to clock out as well. Thanks to our team, Playboy Marty, Madeline, Richie. It's time to clock out.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.